Hey, friends, welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions on this Monday, February 9th, the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm Ben Garrett in the Riverland Roofing Studios. That over there, that man over there, that's Brad Logan, who's going to be live on the street in Pittsboro, Mississippi in 3 days for one Trinidad Chambliss. It's still just getting out of my mouth is funny. Like, this is what we're doing in February. Hey, Brad, how are you? You got Will Furness, Ole Miss Slugger coming up in just a second. Brad, you excited for your upcoming trek to Pittsboro?
Yes, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage for everybody in Pittsboro. We'll have for everybody that are watching, obviously, online. And we'll have our chief legal correspondent, John Cox. Hopefully, John will join us. And then we'll have everything that you need. I'm still waiting on the judge and his team so we can find out what's going to be available or made available to the media, what we can and can't do. So as soon as we have that information, we'll pass along to everybody at the Ole Miss Spirit. That's owenspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. And we'll make sure everybody understands that either we can stream it live. If we can, our goal is to be live on location, interviewing all the fans, get anybody that we'll need. And I don't know, Dakota. All I know is the courtroom that we're going to be going in because I served on jury duty there.
This man has like skin in this.
Yeah.
In this,
so I had jury duty there probably 2 months ago. And I'm going to say maybe 150 is the courtroom. Biggest, it will see about 150. And that's the larger of the two courtrooms.
Well, let me just say, the fact that like you're such a buttoned up stand up citizen that you like don't try like everyone else to get out of jury duty. No, you do your duty and you go and show up to jury duty.
No, I did it.
Yep, you did it, dude. You cheese dick. You can't help yourself. You know, in the year of our Lord 2026, this man's a rule follower and he's going to do what he's supposed to do. That's what I love about him. And he's going to be there in Pittsboro as the Trinidad Chambliss versus the NCAA is coming to a head for a preliminary injunction.
Dakota, I don't know what time you'll need to be there. I know this. It's a small courtroom. The word going around, the past precedent has the judge starting around 9:30. Nothing has been official yet, but that's kind of the past precedent about when he.
I wonder if Judge Whitwell knows that, like, he might be in for a pretty packed out kind of, vibe.
I feel that both he and the Calhoun County Courthouse Chancery Clerk crew are aware that it's going to be a circus. So, we'll be live on location. Ben and I will be with you. Hopefully Sudhu can come with us and we'll have a huge show on Thursday morning. Yeah. If it is 9:30, I would expect Ben will go live an hour or so before.
Yeah.
And then,
I'm going to go live at like 9 o'clock and then, 9:30 rolls around. We'll go to Brad live from Pittsboro.
Well, if it's 9:30 and I can stream it, I'll be inside the courtroom. And so we'll go to the live stream and we'll stream it here.
Dude, I'll have Fern on here back with. Well, he's got to start a baseball season. He can't do it. Like, well, he'll be like the commenter. Like, all right, what do you think about that tactical court move for the representatives? And then, hey, Fern, it's Will Furness. Ole Miss baseball starts its season this week. This weekend, a 3-game series against Nevada. Will Furness will be a active, hard hitting part of that powerful returning lineup. Hey, Fern, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are y'all?
Good. Well, so you excited to start this thing up?
Oh, I'm more than excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really pumped for this year.
All right. Give me the Cliff Notes version of what Will Furness, returning powerful slugging first baseman for your Ole Miss Rebels, what he thinks about this team after weeks of preseason practices. Granted, the ice storm kind of derailed things briefly, but like for you, man, what do you think about this team, this lineup, this rotation, and the season upcoming?
So I know I said this last year, and it's I'm going to say it again. This has been the toughest spring that I've had at the plate for like against our pitching staff. And I can speak for a lot of the guys knowing that we've all said that we want to face somebody different because our staff has been looking really, really good. Our hitters have been swinging it, well, but I mean, our guys look ready. They look mid season form already. It's been fun. The NCAA changed the rule of, 3 weeks before now to 5 weeks. So we got I think Fed said it yesterday. We got 11 inner squads in this spring. And then in the fall, we got 12 in with, and then not including the two outside competitions. So 14 games in this, in the fall, and we got 11 in this spring. So, you know, all the pitchers are ramped up and ready to go. I know Hunter and Town, or well, Townsend didn't throw 70. Hunter threw 70 yesterday, Libert, or Friday, Libert threw 70 on Saturday. And at this point last year, we, I think they were throwing 50 just because it's hard to ramp up that quick. And that was the point of their rule. But the good news is that it gives the hitters time as well to get, you know, reacclimated to seeing live pitching. And then, you know, we've gotten to face probably what's going to be the SEC's top pitching staff this year for 5 weeks. So, you know, we're ready to see somebody that's not, you know, are just our pitching staff. I mean, it's been really, really tough ABs. We've gotten through it, but they look good, man. I'm really excited.
It will to kind of follow up on what Ben asked you. And by the way, thanks again for jumping on with us,
man.
We had Coach Clem on, and he's been with the program in excess of 10 years. And he said it's the best pitching staff he's seen, which would absolutely complement what you're saying. Who are some arms specifically that have really turned your eye over the last couple of weeks? And who are some arms that some Ole Miss fans could be looking forward to in the upcoming season?
Yeah, let's see. Hunter Elliott's the obvious one. He turns everybody's eyes. I mean, I mean, I don't know how he got voted first team All-American. It's only 2 ERA every year, but you know, him, Townsend, which he had glimpses of what he could do last year. You know, he pitched in the midweeks. He didn't really do too well, and then, you know, in the SEC tournament against LSU, he threw like 6 inning shutout. And that's what Townsend can do, and that's what he's done the entire fall and the entire spring, and he's looked even better. Like on Friday, I think he was sitting 97, 98 with his fastball, and that's not even his best pitch. And it's still a really, really good pitch. You know, he's got fastball, cutter, curveball, splitter. I mean, it just goes on and on. I mean, he's really, really good pitcher. And he's taken giant leaps. And, you know, everybody that's, you know, kind of not necessarily sleeping on us, but like saying we don't know how the pitching staff's going to be, that makes me even more excited because – they have no earthly idea that our pitching staff has taken the leaps and bounds that it has. So we got Townsend, Hunter, we got Libert, who last year at Missouri was a reliever. I'm not sure. It's not my job to determine. So I would say Libert could be a starter here. He could be a reliever. I have no idea. He would be a great starter. I think he's on Saturday, he went like 6 innings pitched. He looked absolutely disgusting. I hit against him. I don't remember what I did, but it was probably nothing great. He looked really good. He's like, he's been 94, 95, top in 96. I think he touched 97 once. Really good riding fastball. You know, really good analytical fastball. Really good slider, you know. I think he throws a splitter. I don't really ever face it because I'm left-handed, left on left. But, you know, he's looked really good. Calhoun's looked really good. He's taken a big step. You know, we've got Kelly in the bullpen, Koenig in the bullpen. Waters has taken a huge step. Let's see. I'm definitely forgetting some guys. But, there's just so many this year that have, you know, really, you know, taken a huge step. And then the transfers coming in have been really good as well. So, you know, Joel got to recruit the whole pitching staff this year. I believe last year he only got to recruit Will McCausland, which that worked out pretty well for all of us. He was a good piece, a big piece. So, you know, I think this year is definitely going to be the best year I've been here pitching wise. The rotation is just, it's just unfair. I was actually talking about it in the fall, about how there was only a couple of teams last year that I felt like their three starters were just all really, really good and really close to each other. Like, I didn't feel like, okay, we got through the Friday night guy. Let's go into our hitters meeting Saturday and feel like, okay, we can definitely handle this guy. I was thinking like, okay, if I was going into a hitters meeting and on Friday night they said, okay, you've got All-American Hunter Elliott to start off. As a hitter, I'm like, okay, we're going to have to grind through this game and stretch maybe a couple runs, but mainly get to the bullpen. And then Saturday I come into the hitters meeting and I'm facing Cade Townsend, who's arguably just as good, not just as good, but I mean, he can be just as good as Hunter. You know, his stuff is just stuff plus. It's off the charts. If I came into that hitters meeting too, I'd be like, all right, well, same game plan here. We're going to have to grind and get him out of the game. And then finally you think you get a break on Sunday and you've got Libert or Calhoun coming in. That's just, they all throw upper mid to upper 90s too. So like it's a really tough pitching staff to face. I think last year the comp for me with how I felt with pitching staff wise would be probably, you know, Tennessee starters mixed with Arkansas's bullpen. I don't really know how to put it into words, but it's really good. I think people are going to be very, very pleasantly surprised. You know, they kind of have their doubts, but they're legit. There's some good pitchers.
Will Furnish joining us, the home run machine and starting first baseman. We're so honored to have you, Will, join us. I want to take a question kind of off the baseball beaten path for a moment. I was one of the people that enjoyed watching your dad hit a lot of bombs at LSU. Not necessarily because he was hitting for the Tigers, because that sugar sweet swing that he had. I've really enjoyed getting to know him over the last couple of years. What has family meant to you? I know they've driven a lot of miles and flown a lot of airplane miles to come see you play. But what has your family meant to you in your trek of becoming a great baseball player like you have at Ole Miss?
You know, it's been awesome. My mom is just about as knowledgeable as a mom as you can get in baseball world. And then obviously my dad's a pretty decent hitting coach. So he was just here this weekend and he was giving me some tips on what like I need to do to get up to speed. Like I'm fine, but I mean, he's just giving me the little dad tips, like, hey, you need to do this a little better. You need to do that a little better. You know, the typical stuff, you know, trying to help me hit, you know, tie his record and hit 55 home runs this year. So that way I can tie his record, you know? So, he's great. It's been awesome seeing them at honestly most every game this year. They're going to be at, I think, literally every weekend series. They got season tickets, I believe, for the at Ole Miss. So that way they could, you know, make sure I guess have a cool seat. I'm not sure, but they got season tickets this year at home. They're going to go to every away series since it's my last year. And I think they're going to be having some fun too, because we're going to win a lot of games this year and I'm super excited.
Hey, Ben, real quick, let me answer the question one of the posters had about how to watch all the games. Real quick, if you have YouTube TV or you have a particular cable service, you'll have access to the ESPN app so you can stream all of the Ole Miss games that are available there. If you do not, you need the ESPN Unlimited package. I don't believe ESPN Plus will be a factor in this, and I think it's the ESPN Unlimited. And real quick, before I throw it back to Ben, you talked a little bit, Will, about this season and about the SEC and going on the road. One thing that D1 Baseball point out, by the way, you guys are not ranked. We asked Clem about that. And it was
come on now. And you know what Clem said? Yeah. He said, I could give you the coach speak and say that we aren't paying attention to this, that, and the other. He's like, no, we see it.
Yeah, it's stupid.
But real quick, Will, Ole Miss's first 9 SEC series are against preseason top 25 teams, and that could be a finale at Alabama. They could be ranked. Projected right now, Will, to have the toughest schedule in the country. I know you guys are excited about facing that type of schedule. The schedule SEC is going to be brutal this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. We want that. You know, you're not going to win in Omaha by facing the easiest schedule. So we're going to be the most battle-hardened, ready team to go to Omaha. I mean, last year we faced a easier – we still faced a tough SEC schedule, but it was easier. This year, I think – we're just as good, if not better, especially on the mound. And we're ready to face that type of competition. So, you know, it's just going to make it to where we are battle hardened and ready to go and compete in the regional and the super regional and eventually in Omaha. I mean, we're already going to have played the best teams in the country whenever we get there. So it's not like we're going to be not used to facing that level of competition. You know, it just makes it to where, honestly, like if we win 20 games, we're going to be the number one overall seed, obviously, because of what our schedule was. We win 16 games, we're probably a regional host, maybe making the talks of a national seed. And like that's the fine line of, you know, if you're facing a mediocre schedule or if you're facing a really, really good schedule. So, you know, I think that it's honestly better for us that we're facing this schedule. You know, we're going to face some ups and downs, but that's the marks of a good team. It's how you handle it. So I honestly am pretty glad that we have that schedule. I think we're in a better position than most when talking about preparedness for the postseason and, you know, setting us up for success in the future.
Well, Blair Stewart, who's our resident Penn State fan in the chat, he says, brother, we'll come to the Little League World Series in my hometown of Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Dude, that's a trip we might have to make sometime. Like, I would love to see the Little League World Series. Yeah, I don't want to see like an 18-year-old sneaking in there trying to act like he's 12, but, you know, that'd be hella dope. The Ole Miss or the newcomer, not necessarily transfer, it could be like a freshman because Cannon Golden's had a really, really good preseason. He's been raking. That Ole Miss fans don't quite know yet because they know Fern. They know Judd. You know what I mean? They know Hunter. But that guy, I mean, because if you look at like a guy like Cannon's bio, right? Like, I mean, this guy wasn't the perfect game top 100 dude or anything like that, but he's just been raking. Reminds me a lot of Peyton Chatagnier as far as like recruiting profile and stuff like that. And then to come in here and set it on fire, what have you seen from him and other guys that might – Ole Miss fans might not know yet, but they could by the end of the year.
Cannon's definitely one of those guys. He's put on a show. I don't remember what his exact average was in the fall, but it was somewhere in the 350 mark. This spring, he's just been, it seems like he can't get out. You know, and that's obviously it's really hard to keep that up. I'm not saying he can't because he hasn't yet, but he's definitely a guy that is going to, you know, be one of the, I'm on base all the time. I'm really fast. I steal a lot of bases. I'm, you know, on a double, I score from first easily, like that type of stuff. And, you know, it's more like a true runner. Like I think Anthony Servidio was a runner, like in our pack system, you know, he gets on base, he steals bases, he bunts for hits, he hits singles, you know, he doesn't try to go for the long ball. He leaves that up to the rest of the guys. So, I think he's one of the pieces that we really needed for our lineup. We have the guys that can hit home runs. We just kind of needed a guy that, you know, gets on base like Fed and Dom. Like Dom has been, you know, incredible too. You know, his chase rate was 8% this fall.
Which is ridiculous.
It was low. I think it was I think he had like a 4% chase rate this fall. And I was like, okay, whenever he was coming in, he had an 8% chase rate. I was like, okay, not to, you know, this on other conferences, but those conferences are easier. I was like, let's see how he faces, like, let's see what his trace rate is whenever he's facing guys like Hunter and Townsend and, you know, the big time guys, right? Well, he decreased his chase rate. So I don't understand how that's possible. That the SEC, for people that don't know, the SEC average is 22%. So I felt like I didn't swing at any balls this fall and I had a 16% chase rate. I think I only saw Dom chase 5 pitches this entire fall. So that's unreal. 4% is probably going to be the country leader by
a mile.
A lot of percent. So, I mean, that's huge to have in our lineup as well, especially with, you know, I mean, imagine as a pitching staff, you're facing Fed, Golding and Dom back to back to back. And then you have to get through that without probably letting one of them on base, which is definitely going to happen because, you know, they're both going to have a crazy on base percentage, all three of them. And then you have to face, you know, Judd, Folly, me, Pacella, Bassetta, Reuter. I mean, Reuter's been really good too. So the lineup is, you know, it's deadly. And that's what everybody has been saying. They just don't know about our pitching staff. Well, they didn't watch any fall games and they haven't watched any spring games. So they have no earthly idea. Then that's why I think our staff is going to really surprise some analysts, mainly. They're not going to surprise any of us, but they're going to surprise some analysts with how great they've been. And then on the pitching side, transfer, I've mentioned Libert a bunch, so let me mention Kelly and Koenig. I'm definitely missing a transfer, so I don't want to, you know,
these days you have to get to know people really, really fast and you don't know them very long.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I know all of them. It's just I on the spot, I can't bring up. All I can think of is Kelly and Koenig. Kelly is a lower 90s guy. low release height, just throws a ton of strikes. When you bring him into the game, you know you're not going to get balls from him, and that's huge. It's good to have somebody in the bullpen like that. He's been really good. You know, Koenig, yesterday he threw, he's got a really good splitter, and he's 95, 96, really good ride. Ball just jumps on you. It's really firm 95. You know, it's those guys have been pretty good this fall, or this last fall, and they were good this spring. So, you know, those guys from the pitching side, and then Becetta and Pacella have been talked about a bunch on the hitting side, but that's and then Reuter, I would say Reuter's not really a transfer, but he didn't play a ton last year. And I think he'll play a lot this year. He hit like almost 400 this fall. He's been really, really good hitter all around. He's hit a lot of balls hard this spring. I know he hasn't had the spring inner squads he wanted to, which is the same with me, but you know, it doesn't really matter until February 13th anyways. So he's going to be just fine along with, you know, our entire lineup really. I don't really know. It's a lot easier to say this whenever you have, there's only a couple of guys that you can confidently say it about. I can say it about pretty much our entire team right now. So, I mean, that's a good place to be. So,
culturally, what's it like it right now? Because I mean, last year, I remember when you sat down with Judd for Judd U, and y'all were talking, and y'all were had the same kind of confidence, right, and the same kind of belief, and all those things, and you thought that your assessment of your team was good, that y'all had a winner, but it was still theoretical coming off the previous two seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Culturally. With what y'all accomplished winning 43 games last year, regardless of how it ended, in hosting a regional for the first time in 5 years, to have the proof of concept, and then with what y'all have added, how is it different, right? Because now it's established. Now y'all know what it looks like and what y'all want to be to take it to the next level. How different is it culturally going into 2026 compared to 2025 off of the success of last year?
So culturally it feels the same. We feel like we should win a lot, and we are going to hold ourselves to a high standard in that regard. Kind of like we did last year. I think the biggest difference is that, our pitching staff knows they can do it too. And they are very confident in how they pitch and attacking the strike zone and things like that. And they have the stuff to just beat anybody in the country. If they pitch like they have this spring, they are going to be just lights out, and it's super exciting. You know, our hitters, they're going to be, you know, the same, if not better. You know, I think our hitters had a good season last year. I think our pitching had a good season as well. I think I'm just saying that our pitching is going to be elite this year, basically. Like, I think our pitching was good last year. I'm not trying to knock our pitchers from last year. I think our pitching was good. I think our pitching this year is, you know, next level. It's the type of pitching staff that is one of the best in the country if they do what they're supposed to do. So they can definitely be top five in the country as a pitching staff added with this lineup. It's a recipe for a top eight national seed at the end of things, and a deep Omaha run for sure. So,
well, thanks again for joining us. Great stuff here today. We've talked about the difficult conference schedule. I'd love to ask, what are some games of the non-conference that you're excited about playing? What are some teams that kind of jump out to you on the schedule? And who are some teams that you're fired up about playing this year in non-conference?
Definitely the Astros stadium, or it's not Minute Maid anymore.
It will always be Minute Maid.
Yeah. I know it's
Dykin, Minute Maid.
Is that one?
It's what it
okay.
Is.
All right. Minute Maid. When we go to Minute Maid, we're facing, you know, Coastal Carolina. That's probably the most exciting, game that I think we have. You know, they have couple of preseason All-Americans, I think. You know, I don't think we're going to face, unless they hold Fluky to Sunday, which, I mean, you can't count out, but we're not going to get the opportunity to face Fluky, which is disappointing. But, you know, I think we're going to be facing another really good arm. You know, they're a good team, made it to the national championship last year. You know, that's going to be a big test for us. Now, I'm not saying we have to win if we're going to be good. That's not what I mean. But I think it's going to be just a great game overall. you know, with our pitching staff and how our guys are, how our Sunday guy is going to match up against their Sunday guy. I don't know. I think we're just going to, it's going to be really fun. I think we could go, I think we have the potential to be undefeated going to SEC play. And I know that's saying a lot, but I think we can do that.
Heck yeah, dude.
We had a question a little bit ago. I'm so excited. I've been waiting all day to ask this question. I think nobody is more excited than the Ole Miss fans when you come to the plate because Disco Inferno comes out. Give us a little bit of the backstory about how that song came about. I've talked to your dad about it, but I want to allow you to kind of tell everybody how you came about with that song. And you're right. You dropped a bomb on me following Disco Inferno. That's pretty much a favorite back-to-back for Ole Miss fans.
Yeah. So it was after my sophomore year, and I was sitting down with my family, and I believe it was my girlfriend's family too, and they brought up this song. And I was like, okay, maybe, you know, I think people would like it. I don't know. My walk-up song is mainly for the crowd. I don't need 10 seconds to – my dad's always told me this, but I kind of followed up with it. I don't need 10 seconds to fire me up to hit. Like, I'm ready to hit no matter what. So it's more of just getting the crowd engaged.
What a dirtbag, man. Okay. What a true dirtbag response that is. I don't have to get ready to hit.
Oh, come on.
I stay ready to hit, you know?
Okay. Well, anyways, whenever I was like kind of on the fence about it, and we actually went, this is going to sound really funny. We actually went to Disney World.
Okay. I love Disney World.
And,
I don't care.
Yeah. And it was me and my family, and we rode on the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride has multiple different songs and they all play. And we rode it twice. The first time it was September, I think, or something similar to that. And then the next time we got on it, I said, okay, if it plays Disco Inferno, I'm going to have to do it.
That's amazing.
And it played Disco Inferno, and I heard it, and it was, I don't know, just was like, okay, that seems like it would go good. So I actually had my sister edit the video through her. She used to do dance, and she has like a dance editing app. And so she edited the music and made it to where it would line up with the first part and the Disco Inferno part. So yeah. And then it just kind of stuck. People started dancing. And that was cool. I didn't even see it. My dad had to video it for me because I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to behind the plate, but that's really cool. And I'm hoping more people get involved this year. I think it'd be really cool to have an entire stadium dancing to disco music.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool sight. Think about it this way. What you've created here is 20 years from now in 2046. Oh, my God. In 2046, when you're coming back to celebrate the 2026 National Championship team, when they're introducing all the players, what do you think they're going to play? And then everybody in Swayze watching Will Furness Jr. or something. Oh, that's way too close to it. No. But anyway, I'm better man. But like, yeah, they're going to be dancing to Disco Inferno. That's how you got to remember it. It's legacy, bro.
I love that. That's good.
Well, I'd love to ask, you know, last year you had some moments to where the baseball looked like a basketball to you, just home run after home run. Can you kind of put us in the eyes of a hitter like you whenever you're just kind of feeling it coming to the plate, specifically hitting the long ball? Because this year with you and the remainder of the guys, hitting that long ball is going to be something that Ole Miss fans are really excited to see. But is there some moments last year about when you came to the plate, maybe some specific games, about, boy, you were really seeing it well and you were feeling it to play?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is the regional and then the Florida series. You know, I think it's more of like, yes, you're seeing it well, but it's more of like in the regional, I could have cared less whether I got out or not. It was more of like, I just want us to win. And there's a guy on second base and two outs. I need to get a hit to help us win. So it's more of that. And I think that kind of helped me as a hitter more than anything else, just because that perspective, I hadn't gotten that yet. I hadn't been in a regional until last year. I'd kind of been selfish, almost my freshman and sophomore year. Just kind of like, okay, I need to get a hit right here to boost my stats or to boost, you know, my credibility, stuff like that. And last year really helped me put into perspective with the older guys that, you know, their point of view, and they helped me a lot. But I think that was the biggest thing, is learning that or knowing the feeling of you just want your team to win so bad that you want to lock into this specific AB, not worry about what happened last AB or the AB that's coming. Just worry about this AB and be present. And I think that's going to help me tremendously for this year, just because knowing that that feeling of just wanting your team to win rather than results oriented, and how much better that makes you as a hitter, just focusing on a team and one AB at a time, one pitch at a time. That really is when I'm seeing the ball the best, is when I'm not focused on the next AB or the AB previously or my batting average or things like that. I think that's when things really come together for me. So I think that's huge for me, as well as some other guys. I know other guys probably have felt that too, whether they say it or not, but just focusing on the team winning rather than, you know, personal things. And I think that we have an older group of guys again that can help, you know, bring that into the freshmen and, you know, the younger guys that will help us win a national championship next year and the year before and the year after. And after that, you know, instilling that in those guys as well, trying to get them to learn that early rather than later, like I did, you know, just to, you know, help them in the future. And then I think it's also, you know, huge for everybody in our lineup that to know that that's the way to success, is not necessarily wanting it for you. And I know that sounds pretty selfish, and it is, but it's not wanting it for you and the team rather than just wanting it for the team, mm-hmm. basically. Just wanting it for the team is going to be lead to more success on your end. So that, I think that was the biggest thing that I learned from last year and in some big moments. Just telling myself I can do it. That was a big thing. Like in the big, when we needed the big hit, when I was up, just walking up to the plate and telling myself, well, the game's over. That's the biggest thing. You have to have confidence. Baseball is rough. It's rough. So if you don't have any, if you don't know if you're going to do it, if you aren't convicting yourself, or if you aren't convincing yourself with 100% certainty that you can do it, it's not going to happen. So I think that's the biggest thing that helped me from last year. That was the biggest, I guess improvement to my baseball player ability.
Dude, I love that, man. And I know you got to get to practice. So I'll get you out of here with this. All right. Two questions.
Class. I got to go to class.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. You can keep me as long as you want.
No, I knew you were kidding. I was about to go in on class. But anyway, all right. Drew's got a couple questions here in the chat. Drew's first one is, what bat do you use?
I use the, it's the Combat MFG. They made it last year. I got it after this. I swung the Icon early last year, and then later in the year I started swinging the Combat, and then this year I'll swing the Combat. It's not really an NIL deal, because they already have a deal with our school, but they send me bats separately post on social media. So I have like 12 Combats in my locker right now. So it's, they take care of me. You know, they're a good company. It's one of the best, if not the best, bat in the country, BB Corps. I mean, I'm wearing their hat right now.
I'm seeing it, bro. That's what I was going to say.
I'm wearing their hat right now. They sent me a bunch of hats. You know, they're a great company. They have some really good, guys leading it. They're all super nice. They deserve the success they're getting, and you know, they're putting out some really great bats. So, you know,
if Combat wants to send your boy, one of those hats, cause they're pretty tight. Not going to lie to you. Hook your boy up.
Yeah. I'll tell him you want one. You'll wear it in the podcast or something, maybe.
Because I wear my Riverland hat right here. You know, one of our proud sponsors, Riverland. I'll do a Combat right here now. All right, here's the last one for you, also from Drew. What is your opinion on Trinidad Chamblee?
Oh, I think he's going to get through. I mean, there's the I think everybody, my buddy is going to law school, and he told me that everybody that has filed for an injunction has got it. I don't know how true that is, but
I don't either. And
said.
I should, cause I'm the journalist guy. But
so, well, that's what he said. And he's the guy I trust with law. So, I also think it's also so stupid that you've got guys getting seventh years and you're going to choose to take a stand on a guy that played D2 football and didn't really play at all because he was sick. Mm. And you're going to choose to take a stand with him when you just gave every JUCO player in the country an extra year because they played JUCO, and not trying to discount D2, but how is that different? I don't understand that. But you know what? It's I'm going to let the judge take care of that. I think he deserves another year. I haven't met him. I'm sure he's a great guy. I've seen him working. He's been working at the when we had practice inside during the ice storm, he was in there working, throwing to the back end, to the back corner of the end zone. You know, he's he works hard. Every time I've been in there, I've seen him in there working. So, you know, he seems that he seems like he's getting ready to come back and play again. I think it'd be great for our team, and you know, the golden era. I think it'd be great for the golden era.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, if he gets it, this is a team returning to top 10 preseason Heisman candidates in Trinidad and Kiwan after coming off the semifinals. All I need is for Ole Miss baseball with the season starting this weekend, occupy our time until June. I don't know when the final days in Omaha was. I just want to make sure I see Fern on, like after y'all dog pile on the mound in Omaha. You know what I mean? I want to come find my guy Fern and like turn the camera and go like live from Talking Champions for a title with Fern. You know,
let's do it.
I'm saying.
I agree. I think that'd be great. I think we have a real chance to do it this year too.
My man Will Furness, dude. I'm gonna have you on again. You're the best. I wish you all the luck this year, man. Have fun in class. Class sucks, but we'll talk again soon, bro.
Thank y'all for having me on. I enjoy it whenever I do it. It's awesome.
Fern's the best. Thank you, Fern. See you soon.
Thank y'all. See y'all.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Summer is supposed to be relaxing, right? But if you're anything like me, sometimes it feels like the exact opposite. Between work, family, travel, kids' schedules, and trying to keep up with everything else life throws at you, it's easy to spend the whole summer surviving instead of actually enjoying it. I know for me, one of the biggest challenges is making time for myself. There's always another story to write, another podcast to record, another event to cover. Before you know it, the calendar is full and you've never really slowed down. That's one reason therapy can be so valuable. It can help you better understand your needs, set boundaries, and build a version of summer that actually feels good instead of one that leaves you exhausted. BetterHelp has more than 30,000 licensed therapists and has served more than 6 million people worldwide. A short questionnaire helps match you with a therapist based on your needs and preferences. And if you don't feel like it's the right fit, you can switch to another therapist at any time. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/TOC. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/TOC. Ole Miss fans, summer always changes how I get dressed. When it's 95 degrees in Mississippi and I'm bouncing between the ballpark, the studio, and whatever Ole Miss event is next, I want clothes that are comfortable but don't look like I just rolled out of bed. That's why I've been wearing Quince. Their European linen shirts have become one of my go-to pieces this summer. They're lightweight, breathable, and actually look good whether I'm covering a game or recording a podcast. The thing I like most about Quince is you're getting high-quality essentials without paying luxury brand prices. Their linen shirts and pants start at just $34, and everything is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they cut out the middlemen and work directly with ethical factories. Elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/TOC for Talk of Champions, TOC, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions. All right, buddy, that is Will Furness, Ole Miss slugger, joining us here on Talk of Champions. Dude absolutely rules. He's just such a good human being, so much fun to talk to. So thankful to him. Thankful to Riverland Roofing for sponsoring us. 662-644-4297. They're still doing ice and damage cleanup for you. So holler at them, 662-644-4297. Our thanks to Alan Samuels, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford for your new car. If your car suffered damage in the Ice Apocalypse 26, or if you're just in the market for a new one, AlanSamuelsOxford.com. You can also call them today at 662-234-8000. B&A Bank is my hometown bank. You can, for all your financial needs, go to them, 662-534-8171, online at bnabank.com. But man, how fun was Fern, dude? I mean, that dude, and I'm gonna be honest with you, I know the schedule is tough. I know it's the toughest schedule in the country, Brad. I understand that. But when I look at Ole Miss and what they could be, all those teams got to play Ole Miss this year. And I think Ole Miss has the potential to be one of the very best teams in the country. I'm trying to look at where the weaknesses really are. Maybe like you got to establish some things in the bullpen, you know, those kind of roles. But as far as the lineup and the rotation are concerned, Ole Miss is in certainly a better starting place than they were last year when they won 43 games and hosted a regional.
There's no doubt. And, you know, I go back to the conversation we had with Coach Clement. That's what jumped out to me. And, you know, it's one thing to have a player talk about supporting his team and about how the pitching staff is going to be really good. And I get all that. But I just go back to what Coach Clement was saying. You know, he said, you know, he told us, he said, you know, going back to 11 years here at Ole Miss, it's the best pitching staff I've seen since I've been here. And I think a lot of that is Joel Mangrum. And there's baseball media day this week. I'll be there. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage once again for you on Talk of Champions. We'll have video and content for you. But that's one thing I'm going to ask Mike is, Coach, I know you've been here, you know, 20-plus years. Tell me a little bit about the pitching staff. You know, where does this rank on paper with staff you've had in the past? Because we've now heard from Will Furness, who's one of the best hitters on the team. We've heard from Mike Clement, who is the team's hitting coach, and he's talking about the best pitching staff that he's seen. So that really jumped out to me. Two, the comfortability that Will has in talking about how talented this team is, and not shying away from the fact that, yeah, it's a tough schedule, maybe the toughest in the country, and doesn't care. In fact, it felt like he was welcoming the challenge. It's almost like he was like, yeah, it's the toughest, but that's the way we want it. We've got everybody in front of us. And the quiet confidence, maybe not so quiet confidence, but, you know, it wasn't a boastful conversation with Will. It was a very confident conversation about, you know, you look at where this team is, and we talked with Clem about the infield and about how everybody's kind of solidified there. The outfield has some question marks, but he talked about, you know, Dom Decker, someone we very well could see, you know, Hayden Federico. There are some players that are going to start really coming to the surface very early. I think this will not be an outfield or an infield for the most part that will be feeling its way 8-9 games into the season. I feel like Coach Bianco and his team of coaches are going to feel this thing out pretty early. And I think you're going to see a galvanized team, you know, within that 8-game mark. And I think, you know, going off to Houston and playing in that stadium, feeling their way against a team like a Coastal Carolina, a really good squad from last year that played Florida to the brink. In fact, I think, did they beat Florida last year, Ben?
Gosh, don't ask me those questions.
Well, I think Kevin Sublin got thrown out. I don't remember if they beat them. Somebody in the chat can tell. I know it was close. They didn't beat them. But I know they were really good last year.
The chat always comes through for us. They do. Whenever we have a question that we get stumped on briefly, they always come through.
So, Coastal was really good. I think that's going to be a good watermark for Ole Miss. Basically, I think this is a team that can be really, really good. And I think on paper, obviously, pitching really jumps out. But I think, you know, the plate, to me, is where this team could be very – very damning. And if you look at the way they can do things at the plate, hitting the long ball, Clem said there are going to be some swing and misses, but for the most part, I think this is a team that's really going to hit the long ball, and I'm really excited to see what they can do this year. I'm excited about baseball. A lot of people in the chat are excited too. Dude. And you have reason to be, because I think this is one of the more talented Mike Bianco teams of his tenure.
Ole Miss Media Day is Tuesday. Yeah. I'm going. Are you going?
Yes.
Heck yeah. So Brad and I will both be at Ole Miss Media Day at Swayze Field tomorrow. We'll have plenty of content over
the Ole Miss Spirit. Man, bring your camera.
Yes, I'm bringing my camera. Okay. The Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate on 3, that QR code above Brad's head. Sign up today. New members for $1 for the first 5 days, and then you're charged an annual sub, but for the first 5 days, it's $1. We'd love to join you, man. I wish you would join us and give us a chance and hang out with us. We talk about this stuff, do this stuff all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate on 3. With that QR code right above Brad's head, our thanks to Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. Looking for health insurance. Drew Moak's the man. Online with quoteswithdrew.com. That's quoteswithdrew.com. Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group, 601-953-8449. So we'll be at Ole Miss Media Day tomorrow. Chris Beard's supposed to be coming on the show in the next couple of days, so that's another guest to look forward to. Then we got, of course, Brad going to Pittsburgh, Mississippi, and we'll be live from Pittsburgh. You sent me a bunch of pictures. I got to get that kind of worked out. But as we now set the stage for NCAA or Trent Chambliss v. NCAA, what's anything changed for you in regards to this and what we're about to be walking into? I mean, I don't think we're going to get anything on Thursday outside of good interviews with Tom Mars and on the street and stuff. But as far as a ruling, I don't think anything's coming on.
No, on past precedent isn't the case here, which I would think it would be no different. I think the one thing we can look at is both sides will hear, will state their case, and at the end, Judge Whitwell will not rule on anything. If past precedent is the case. He will take everything into advisement and then have a very detailed ruling after that. So I do believe that we will not get any type of resolution, but we will hear both sides. I'm fascinated to see how this will work. I mean, once again, I'll reiterate, I served on jury duty, and so I've been inside the courtroom. There are two courtrooms in the courthouse, as we see the video here. This is the town of Pittsburgh. You see across the way the post office. Across the way is City Hall. There's no red light. There's no stop sign. There's no nothing.
Look at Pittsburgh town. City Hall. Is that like a converted mechanics place?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that's the town. The Highway 9 runs through that. And if you keep coming all the way to the right, you'll see the town's Mexican restaurant.
Right there.
And then being the other video you'll see is a really nice courthouse. And it I can't nice say enough courthouse. About the yeah, so there you'll see the courthouse, and it's really new, and the staff is really good. I can't say enough about Kathy Pointer, who does a great job as our chancery clerk in town, our circuit clerk Carlton Baker and his entire team. They're all really, really good people. It's just something very different. You know, having this amount of people, and once again, I'll go back to what I said, serving on the jury. Now, I was removed. I was not selected, but I did show up and was there for a little while.
Yeah, but you did your civic duty.
The room's about 180 people, and so I don't know. It's a public hearing, obviously, and we don't know.
Are you going to be right here on the corner?
Yeah, I'm going to be right there set up live talking to all of you, so come by and say hello if you're watching and listening. We'd love to talk with you. We'll have interviews with some different people. And then the courtroom is all the way. It's in the middle. If you'll pan a little to the right, Ben, if you go in there at the middle entrance there, right there, you see the three tiers right there in the middle. That's the main courtroom. And so that's where all of the action will take place. I don't know. Someone asked me about Trinidad. Will he be there? I wouldn't think so. So I love this
Ole Miss fan, 1988-24. That looks like an amazing place for Trinidad to get his injunction. Yep.
Yeah. So, yep. Pittsburgh, Mississippi. And that's where everything happened on Tuesday. Ben, I got to grab a note real quick. Give me a second.
All right. So Brad's got to step away to do the note. He will be in Pittsburgh and there that you're looking at Pittsburgh. I love this right here. This reminds me of Salisbury, Tennessee, where my grandmother's from. It's a little town in Tennessee near Bolivar and Middleton. Dude, a town of 100 people. You can drive right through it. I mean, this is the whole town right here, y'all. There's El Jefe. That's where everybody's going to be meeting up. If you're an Ole Miss fan that is coming to Pittsburgh on Thursday, first look out and find Mr. Brad Logan. But we all eating at El Jefe. And the court hearing starts, I think someone asked in the chat, 9:30. Here's the full breakdown of the docket. 9:30, Chambliss versus the NCAA. Looking for a preliminary injunction. William Liston and Tom Mars are representing Trinidad Chambliss. And I've got the representative for the NCAA. But, it's all coming to a head. It's finally coming this week. Hey, Brad, sorry. You're back with us. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, Doug Miner's the NCAA rep. And, no, I doubt we'll get an interview with Doug, although I'll ask him.
No.
I would not think that would happen. There are a couple of things that happened over the weekend. I'll call out, I think other media outlets have since reported this, but the first one I saw was Sam Hutchins of the Clarion Ledger. One thing that he obtained is that Austin Thomas has a sworn statement. It's one of four documents filed in the Chambliss lawsuit on February the 6th. So you can read about that of the Ole Miss Spirits, a 34-page lawsuit outline of Chambliss's case for a final year of eligibility. One thing I think that I will call out is that they talked about how they're not interested in going after any other quarterbacks, that Deuce Knight and Walker Howard are the only quarterbacks on the roster. and that's not their intention. Their intention was to have Trinidad Chambliss be the main quarterback. Obviously, there were medical records that were obtained. I did receive a message from Tom Mars stipulating that the NCAA, upon the and by the way, our chief legal correspondent John Cox has chimed in and said they're very good. The affidavits are very much good for Ole Miss. They were very well done. So thanks, John, for letting us know that.
I love that. We got to get like a graphic for John.
Yeah, and hopefully John will be able to comment while the hearing is going on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I want to be able to like flash the graphic across the screen. You know, yeah. It's like live. Now we go live to special legal correspondent John Cox. You know, we got to set it up. We got to make this an event, Brad. And then I got to make one for you too, Brad on the street. Going to Brad Logan, Brad on the street on the corner of Pittsburgh's Chancery Court.
Oh, yeah. We'll knock it out.
Okay, good.
But Tom Mars, once again, he sent me a graphic showing that the NCAA did not listen to or did not put into play in the appeal of the direction of the doctors of the medical team of Trinidad Chambliss. So I thought that was a very big part of this. The biggest thing is that obviously we know Doug Miner, who has practiced in Mississippi and around the Jackson metro area. I think he actually grew up in Oxford. He's based out of Atlanta, so he'll be the main NCAA lawyer.
Can I make a joke and everybody know that I'm joking?
Okay.
I'm not meaning this sincerely. So that's the turncoat. See, I just wanted to get a stupid joke in. Doug Miner. All right, Doug. All right, you turncoat.
He was approved. He's very, very highly decorated. So Doug's very, very much someone that everyone should pay attention to. He's a very, very good attorney. So he was approved by Judge Robert Whitwell. And so here's something else.
I hope you are unsuccessful, Doug.
Well, we'll see. So the approval also added David J. Zetlin and Taylor J. Askew. They are also approved. It's folks might remember the Askew. Oh, tell me about that. Well, Askew's a former football player at Tennessee Tech. Got his law degree from Tennessee. And he's someone that has been a part of the NCAA legal team in the past. So NCAA adding a couple of new names to its legal team. Mm-hmm. I anticipate to see all those guys on Thursday. Obviously, Ben, if you look at this thing, his appeal was denied on February the 4th. At that point, the Ole Miss, or I should say Trinidad's team, put the appeal out there. There's a chance he could get the injunction. We'll see what the ruling will be by Judge Whitwell. Do not anticipate that the ruling will happen on the spot. I know from people that I've spoken to that Judge Whitwell is taking this very close. He is very much putting a lot of attention on this case. So I do know that this very, very high-profile case that everyone is really paying a lot of attention to. Obviously, Yahoo's Ross Dellinger, who we all really appreciate.
Is Ross coming back home to go to Pittsburgh? A Mississippi man?
I mean, this looks like something Ross would definitely be a part of. But he's reporting that the Chambliss signature on the Ole Miss contract in excess of $5 million. But Sam, once again, I can't say enough. Sam Hutchins does a great job for Clarion Ledger. He's always on top of the legal things with Ole Miss.
We need to get Sam to start dropping in more.
Well, funny you say that. I really think we need to talk to him because he did a really good job. This is, of course, updated on February the 7th, but Sam did a great job. And I just wanted to kind of outline a couple of new things that have kind of crossed our desk in regards to Thursday. I'm new to this. Once again, if I'm saying some legal things that may be not the case, I'm trying to wade myself through all these legal terms and that sort of thing. And thanks to you and John Cox and other people, Sam Hutchins, once again, Sam's really good on the legal end, covering a lot of this. So at the end of the day, we think 9:30 is going to be kickoff time, and that's going to happen in Pittsburgh. We'll be there, wall-to-wall coverage. We'll let you know what time we'll be going live. I would anticipate somewhere around 8:30 to 9. We'll be there live on location, interviewing people, interviewing fans, and getting anybody we can to talk to. Yes, I will effort the NCAA attorneys. I sure will. I will also effort the Ole Miss attorneys. I will absolutely talk to Tom and see if William Liston and anybody will visit with us before or after the injunction hearing on Thursday. But I do know this. Ben, I've spoken with a lot of people in regards to the Calhoun County courthouse and the way that it is handled. Every stone is being unturned. Every I is dotted. Everybody understands the significance of this, and everything is being done in an incredibly professional manner. And I'm very proud of my county and how they're handling themselves throughout this process. So, Ben, it is in Pittsburgh, not Poughkeepsie, Pittsburgh.
I've said Pittsburgh every time. Yeah, no one's given me a single shred of credit, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't, because I butchered it forever. But I just want the record to show, for the last hour, all I have done is called it Pittsburgh with no mistakes made. Zero. Just over and over again. That looked not like I wanted it to. Over and over again saying Pittsburgh instead of Poughkeepsie. Pittsburgh, you know. It was bad, mainly because my aunt Nita, my great aunt Nita died, and we had the funeral this weekend. My brother, my brothers and I, and my dad, she had left it for us to sing. She wanted Mark and the boys to sing at her funeral. So we did, sang, How Great Thou Art. It was quite lovely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss my great aunt Nita. But that's why if anybody was on the Ole Miss Spirit and wondering for the lack of activity, your boy, where were you? That's where it was. And, I'm thankful for all y'all who've reached out, especially my Ole Miss Spirit people right here who've wished nothing but goodness. And I was hanging around. I mean, all the cousins come back that you haven't seen, right, in years and years and years and years. And I was introducing myself to people because a lot of them wanted to talk about what you think they wanted to talk about. And one came up to me, was like, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you." She's like, "Ben, I've known you your entire life. Like, I knew you when you were a baby." And I had to explain to them, I'm terrible at names, birthdays, really remembering anything. But one thing I am thankful for is that I've got somebody like Brad who I would forget to go try. I would meet y'all at El Jefe on Thursday. You know what I mean? We needed a El Jefe, see what happens later. Brad's going to be hustling. And somebody asked in the comments where you're going to be. And I think we said we're setting it up. You're setting it up. Let me find it again. I think you said you're setting it up right there on the corner, not this corner. That corner. Go back that way. Yep. That corner.
Right there on the corner.
Right there.
Yeah.
So that's where Brad will be. Maybe you can move the bench around, you know, or like maybe you could set up over here. And this is where you can do Brad on the street. But while Ben can't remember Jack Turkey, including how to say Pittsburgh, even though he's done it this entire hour, Brad Logan is a hustler, and he's going to be right here kicking ass and taking names, talking to Tom Mars, talking to whoever he can talk to. And guess who's I've reached out to join us? One, Sam Hutchins. We'll see if he does. I texted him while you were talking. But, yes, what are you expecting? Do you believe that this will be successful? When do you think a ruling will come? All that stuff. You know what I mean? Well, like, jokes aside, Ben can't say Pittsburgh. Look, Blair said Brad got hoes in Pittsburgh.
Don't put that on the screen.
Why? It's funny. You're in Calhoun County. It's your hometown, man.
Yeah, I felt like Ole Miss was in really good shape. After we had John Cox on the show last week, and John kind of walked us through the legal end of this and kind of what to be expected, where he thinks it will kind of lean. I felt much better about the situation. And then reading through the affidavits and then, of course, getting confirmation from John on those affidavits just really lends me to believe that I feel like Ole Miss will succeed in this case. I feel like at the end of the day, Judge Whitwell, and someone asked about him being an Ole Miss guy. I'm going to be straight up here. I guess he's a judge, man. And he's a really good judge. He is a really, really good.
Do your job.
Really good at what he does. And I promise you, he's going to hear both sides of this case. And he's going to rule in the best case for the Chancery Court for the state of Mississippi, for the United States. I mean, he's going to rule.
The law says. Who is the damaged party? You know, like, he's going to rule fairly, because that's what all have been asking, like, including the governing body of college athletics, the NCAA. They want a ruling body that's completely objective and sticks to its rules. Part of what Ole Miss will be arguing is that the NCAA isn't even following its own rules. If anything, it's selectively enforcing. That's a crux point of the case. So, he's an Ole Miss graduate from Ole Miss Law as the judge. He's a good judge, and he's going to judge the facts. And after you hear senior legal correspondent for Talk of Champions John Cox on the show and then chiming in today, I agree with you. I think he's going to make he's going to be fair and impartial as judges, the best judges are supposed to be, and he's going to make render a verdict or a ruling that most directly aligns with the law. And in that way, I think Ole Miss will be victorious. It's not going to be a ruling on Thursday, no. But maybe by the following Monday or Tuesday, I could see that.
The question, Kyle, we haven't really covered it, but why Calhoun instead of Lafitte? The answer to me was that this is the next place that Judge Whitwell was going to be in it, because he goes to different counties for different chancery clerk injunctions, hearings, and what have you. But the best I was told is that this was the next place on his schedule, so this is when it was set. Really nothing special about Pittsburgh, really nothing about leaving Oxford, about getting it. This is just his next stop. So that's the reason that this is the reason it isn't going to be in Pittsburgh.
Former Ole Miss wide receiver Trey Freifogel, as he was on Friday in the chat here, get today with me and Brad. You checked on Suter this weekend. Brew needed a B12 shot on Friday. He did. And I actually texted him. For those that truly want to know, I joke with him, but I checked on him. Yeah, he's just dealing with the crud, man. He hadn't felt great, but he's starting to come around. And he and I will be live for Talk of Champions tomorrow for the 10 o'clock Tuesday show. Hoping to have Chris Beard either tomorrow or for the Wednesday show, but that's coming up. Sudu and I on Tuesday, Zach and I on Wednesday from the Ole Miss Spirit, Zach Berry, OMSpirit.com. Sign up today for $1. Thursday, it'll be Brad back with me, and then Friday, it'll be Sudu. But Thursday, Brad will be back with me from not.
Yes, it will not be 10 o'clock. It will be much earlier than that.
Yeah. What time are we going live? I was thinking like we just hit the live go live button at 9:30 and then go to you at like 9:40, see what things are happening. You know what I mean? Unless
The goal for me is to stream this thing live at 9:30, like in the courtroom.
Oh.
So I want to stream the entire. The decision
can come, it's just we don't think it will come. So you want to actually stream the yes, whole proceeding?
I want to open up the channel. Come to me at 9 o'clock, 8:45. Me walk around, interview people, come to you.
Okay.
And then at about 9:20, I'm gonna go inside the courtroom and then have everything already set up. And then I will join you from the courtroom and we're gonna stream this thing live if they'll let me.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I'll be in the main chair. And if we ever need to, like, as hey, Ben, I got to go figure some stuff out. I will stay here with the people in the chat, and then we'll all watch it together. Is that what you're trying to
do? And then you bring in John Cox, and then as the thing's going on, John could, if there's a break in the action or something, John could jump on and say, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what we can anticipate. Tell me that wouldn't be awesome.
Oh, like a full-on newscast of this?
A full-on CNN, let's go to the courtroom, let's hear it. But
I'm in. Again,
I do not know if the judge will allow me to stream it live yet.
Yeah, we like
That's what I'm waiting on.
Okay, but there's a chance.
There's a chance. If I can't stream it live, then you know we'll leave the chat open. I don't anticipate it lasting a lot. I will be able to probably join you via the chat if y'all are live.
He'll be right here.
It's just
so when are you gonna be right here? When are you gonna be right here?
I'm gonna be right there at 9 o'clock. 8:45-ish, and that's when we will be live on location. You know, if it begins at 9:30, by 9:20, I'm going to go inside the courtroom to my spot, and if we can stream live, then that's when I will click on with the equipment in there, and then we will stream it live. I'll have the mics and everything set up, but I don't know if I can do that yet. If I can't, I'll be inside, and I will be reporting back via – you know, text or via the chat, if y'all want to leave the chat open, and then we'll go from there. Crossing my fingers, they'll let me stream it live.
Well, Drew says he heard El Jefe will allow takeout orders for the courtroom. So we'll be seeing y'all at the El Jefe. That's all I'm saying. You know, Sam Hutchins still hasn't responded. I'm disappointed in him. We got
Ronald. I have. I have Ronald.
I hope you've already made your request
quite a while ago. Yeah.
And what he's responding to, for those that aren't watching but listening, I hope you have already made your request to the court clerk to live stream it. And Brad says he has, because then nobody hustles like Brad. He's a hustler, baby. That man is always working. Thanks, y'all, for joining us today. Thanks to Will Furness for dropping in, man. He is awesome. Ole Miss Baseball Media Day is tomorrow. They open their season this weekend with a 3-game series against Nevada. Create a new you in 2026. join Built Different Fitness. Brad and I are now members, and now we have to go. Built Different Fitness, 662-832-0961. 662-832-0961. Good people, Ole Miss people that want a bit of the best version of you this year. Built Different Fitness, 662-832-0961. Online at bdoxford.com. Check it out for yourself. They'll find something, have something that works for you. I want to say thank you to all of our sponsors. Of course, Riverland Roofing right here on my hat. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. B&A Bank, my hometown bank for all your financial needs. Tannehill Carmen PLLC has served Oxford for over 20 years. Contact them for all your legal needs, 662-200-8734. Whatever you're going through, if you're in Oxford or surrounding areas and you have legal needs, Tannehill Carmen PLLC has served Oxford, like I said, for 20 years. But more than that, they're family. They care about you. So give them a call, 662-200-8734. Our thanks to Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. For all your Ole Miss merch, I want you to go to College Corner, go see our guy Scott and them. They have what you need. Guess who just showed up? Sam Hutchins just showed up. We can't end it now.
Did we just bring Sam into existence?
Hold on. All right, so College Corner for all your Ole Miss merch, 662-550-4330. That's 662-550-4330. Online at collegecornerstore.com. It's the off season, folks. That and anyway, it's podcast. It's our show. We can go as long as we want to, damn it. And sometimes you have surprise guests and developments. It's Sam Hutchins and Clarion Lair.
He's very topical, by the way. Sam, by the way, I've already told you this, but I'll tell you, along with everyone else that's watching, fantastic job covering this Trinidad Chambliss case, specifically from the legal end, and about what you released over the weekend. I would like to real briefly go about what did you learn. We kind of talked about some of the things you reported, but in regards to counsel being added to the NCAA's case, also some other things you saw from Austin Thomas, what kind of jumped out at you from what you learned over the weekend?
Yeah, I learned this. I guess we all probably should have assumed it, and it's not exactly, you know, huge news. But yeah, what I learned is, oh, the NCAA is bringing out some heavy hitter lawyers as well.
Yeah,
right. You know, there's been a lot made of Tom Mars and Liston and Chambliss's counsel, which is really good, but. You know, the NCAA and President Charlie Baker, that's a major organization. They have heavy hitters, and they're hiring some excellent counsel as well. So, yeah, that was, I mean, as much as I can learn from looking at the LinkedIn pages of guys and trying to, you know, evaluate, man, is he a heavy hitter lawyer? How does his resume stack up to his and all that? But, yeah, but I assume that adequate arguments will be made on both sides.
Sam, the attorneys that you were referenced were David J. Zetlin and Taylor J. Askew. Obviously, Askew is a former football player at Tennessee Tech. He's been in the news a lot. He's got his law degree from Tennessee, and he's someone that when I saw his name come across and I saw you reported that he was one of the attorneys, my ears peaked up a little bit because you're right. NCAA, I don't want to say they're not playing around, but this is just not rolling the ball out there. They're coming to court with some heavy hitters, like you said.
Well, and this is a case that is, again, it's you know, Aguilar is suing too at Tennessee, and there's some other high-profile stuff, but, like, either Tom Mars and is going to be maybe a little embarrassed or disappointed if he loses, or the NCAA is going to be a little embarrassed or just at least widely publicized as, hey, they lost this case, and here's what it means. So I understand both sides kind of really feeling the importance of winning this case. And, you know, if you're the NCAA, I think, and if you lose this case, it opens you up to a lot more litigation in the future of people wanting to roll the dice and see what they can get extra years and thus forth. So it'll be interesting, the implications of it all.
What do you think happens from it? What do you, like, if you just had to kind of, you know, handicap it sitting here on Monday, this thing coming up on Thursday, are you going to Pittsburgh?
I'm going to Pittsburgh. It'll
be LFA with everybody else.
It'll be. I've already scoped out the menu, Ben. Dead on is 100% serious. I looked at the menu the other day because, yeah, that's where I imagine, you know, maybe we'll be across the table with Tom Mars. You know, everyone will have to be there.
I'm saying like everybody just getting drinks. It's like, hey, that was crazy what happened in there, folks. Can you believe that? I'm saying
we never got a true, like, into the beat with, you know, the CFP was so crazy, and then it all ends in Arizona late one night, and then Chambliss's waiver, and we're all flying home. Mm-hmm. And maybe this will be kind of the ends to the season, you know, just for the beat folks a little bit.
I'm saying.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess handicapping things.
Be fun.
Handicapping things, I think at least getting a preliminary injunction is pretty good. I was looking at the Bediako stuff with Alabama. Different scenario, but he's still wanting a preliminary injunction. And then that deal was on Friday, and then they kind of took the weekend to deliberate, you know, the judge. So I guess there's a chance where there's not, you know, maybe we're all eating at El Jefe at lunch and there isn't a ruling yet, and that takes hours or a day to come out. But yeah, I think anything is, I guess, on the table. But I think that probably the most likely outcome is either Chambliss is approved for the temporary injunction, or, you know, we're walking out of there and there's nothing decided yet.
Do you think that Trinidad Chambliss is going to be Ole Miss's quarterback in 2026?
I've had that, I guess, leaning since the watching how the portal played out. And I think Deuce Knight is a good player. I think he's probably a long-term, very realistic candidate to start games here. But I don't think that he's the way Ole Miss goes when you're trying to run back a semifinal CFP run, if you don't at least think there's a pretty good shot at Chambliss coming back. So that's sort of what the tea leaves are telling me. I mean, I feel like we all have honorary legal degrees at this point, but who knows what could even come out or what documents could come out that could shift things around.
Hey, Sam, what did you make of what Ole Miss filed? And the second part of that question, what are your thoughts on Austin Thomas and his comments in regarding the affidavits filed?
Yeah, that was when you're talking about Brad, when he said, among a couple of things, he's like, hey, Chambliss is this is not going to impact anyone else, because regardless of what happens here, Ole Miss is not adding a quarterback. That's right. What you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, my read on that, I understand why you put that out there. I guess my question is, well, wouldn't he still be taking a place of someone on the team just from the opportunity to start games? Like, wouldn't – I guess I think that the counter argument you open yourself up to there is, well, you know, Chambliss would be taking the opportunity, the learning opportunity, the growing opportunity of someone by being on the field, right? Whoever that would be, Deuce Knight or, whoever. But I don't know how much that's weighing the merits of actually playing in the games versus the merits of being on the team. So I think that's something that it was at least interesting, right? That's something you'd want to have in writing is, hey, Chambliss is not, we're not adding another quarterback regardless of what happens here.
I got a good question from the chat at Old Memes on Twitter, my dude. Just to be clear, if the preliminary injunction is granted, the NCAA can't legally stop Trinidad from playing, correct? The rest of the court case would be too far down the road to matter, correct? If he gets the preliminary injunction that all but assures or secures Trinidad Chambliss is Ole Miss's quarterback in 2026, because there is no legal recourse, now it has to play out. There will be an appeal from the NCAA, but you're talking about months and months of time potentially. But if I'm wrong on that, because we're all wearing our, you know, we're legal scholars now, folks. Sam Hutchins, Ben Garrett, Brad Logan. I got a degree from Ole Miss in broadcast journalism, but by golly, I'm a lawyer this week when we're going to Pittsburgh, Mississippi. And I say that, if he gets the preliminary injunction, according to senior legal counsel for Talk of Champions, John Cox, legal counsel, yeah, he's the quarterback for 2026. Do y'all feel the same way?
I think I'd lean that way for sure. With the precedent of it all, from what I understand, the ability to just drag things out, right, would be the next step in that. But that usually seems to be one of the features of the legal system here is the ability to drag things out. So that to me would seem to play into Ole Miss's hands pretty well. I'm kind of just sweating. Like we may be talking about Trinidad and the eligibility every day from here until next September. when they go up to Nashville, or even, you know, with this Bediako stuff and at Alabama, the basketball player, for folks who may not know that name, you know, he is being litigated on in the season. So
as he's shooting free throws over the weekend,
yes, litigation. Yeah. People are chanting G League dropout. When he gets off the floor, he's got to go check his phone in the locker room to see, do I still got a spot on this team? So, to me, that without having researched that, but just amongst friends here, it's like, wouldn't that open Chambliss up to being litigated on throughout even next season? So we could be in for a major dose of refreshing that Mississippi Courts document website for however long Chambliss is trying to play.
Sam, in your opinion, and obviously you look at this from a little different angle than Ole Miss fans and then me and Ben to a certain extent, does this decision to not approve the waiver process for Trinidad Chambliss have anything at all with the correlation of the tampering charge that Clemson levied against Ole Miss, along with that, I don't know if Fresno State did or not, but does any of this stuff have anything to do with the other, in your opinion?
I haven't heard any of that, so I'd have trouble saying that just off of what I haven't heard. I suppose it's maybe possible, but I think that there are kind of different committees responsible for like the Committee on Infractions versus the Committee on Appeals. So I imagine that those are separate offices and probably not related.
You look at this case, and one thing too, I wanted to ask you, in regards to the newest documents that you reported over the weekend, this is more of an opinion than factually based, but in your opinion, did Ole Miss do a really good job of laying out the new documents that they laid out before that you were able to get your hands on over the weekend? Do you think Ole Miss did a good job of discussing its case?
Yeah, that was to me like the most comprehensive argument. It kind of it took everything into account and really laid it out as a response. So yeah, I thought, I mean, that was helpful just reading material for folks trying to familiarize themselves with the case. But yeah, like that kind of summarizes what Ole Miss is trying to hit on and what will be ruled in Judge Whitwell's courtroom here pretty shortly. I thought it was pretty comprehensive.
There's Sam Hutchins right there on the Clarion Ledger's or on Twitter. X. I'm not calling it X. Twitter. There's Sam Hutchins at Sam_Hutchins. There's the story links. New documents from both sides have been filed in Trinidad Chambliss's eligibility lawsuit versus the NCAA. One provides a peek at an argument Chambliss's side is making. Go read the full comprehensive report by my guy, that young buck star reporter coming up. His name, Sam Hutchins from the Clarion Ledger. He's a baller and he's got new information. He will be in Pittsboro, Mississippi this weekend. Or not this weekend, Thursday, Ben. Thursday is not the weekend. This Thursday, and Brad Logan will be in Pittsboro, Mississippi on Thursday. So, Sam, Brad's already planning to do his Brad on the Street stuff, okay? So when we go live, because we're going to do a live show, Talk of Champions will be live, and there will be breaks in the actions for y'all. I just want a Sam appearance. It can be at El Jefe. It can be on the corner at the Chancery Court. I just want you to stop by and hang out with us some more, okay? We're all riding this absurd wave together. You know what
hey,
I mean?
Hey, are y'all going – and Brad usually classes it up anyway. Are y'all going sports coat and tie? What's the move there? Have y'all thought that far ahead yet?
I might not be the best person to ask, but I will be.
Okay.
But now that's always though.
I'm treating it like a football game. So.
Okay.
Okay. So if what would that mean for me? Would that mean
an Atlanta Braves hat on and a t-shirt?
I was saying go dress like you're going to Sunday school. You know what I mean?
Which
can be like business casual, you know? Throw a nice pullover. You don't have to tuck in if you can find a way to keep it untucked, because if you're fat like me, you want to wear layers. You know what I mean?
So
I don't think you have to go tie. You might be in for a pretty long day. You want to be in a tie all day? You want to be with them like them stuffy old men, them bureaucrats? Come on.
That's
now.
Right.
I'm saying, all right, fight the power. Be a media guy. Don't dress like a hobo like your friend Ben. But certainly, you know, just dress like you're going to Sunday school, right? You kind of woke up a little late, later than you expected to, and you rushed a little bit. That's what you're going for. You know what I mean?
That works for me.
All right, be prepared. It's Sam Hutchins. Thank you, buddy, for joining us on short notice. You're awesome, dude.
Hey, happy for the impromptu experience. Did we run out of time for me to give my thoughts on the halftime show last night? No.
No, please do. Wait. No. I mean, okay, you got 30 seconds before we get out of here. Sam, you final. What do you think about the Bad Bunny? I thought Bad Bunny set it on fire, bro. I thought it was awesome.
I will say I'm a pretty terrible person to ask about that in general because I'm like, well, hand up, like I don't know the Bad Bunny songs, but also me like either. Hand up, I don't know. It was last year the Kendrick Lamar songs. Like I was just as lost during that. So I'm a pretty bad person to ask in general.
But from an entertainment standpoint, no, you can't deny that it was entertaining as heck. Lady Gaga showed up, folks.
I like the wedding theme. I've been to two weddings in the past since the Tulane playoff game. I've been in two weddings as a groomsman. And I was like, whoa, that's a good look at a wedding right there. So I actually sort of, it was more like low key than a lot of halftime performances, which I thought was kind of cool. But
there you go. Well, dress like you're going to Sunday school for Pittsburgh. All right. Bring a little Bad Bunny, or I'll bring it on this end. I'll play a little Bad Bunny. Let's try to like figure out. I didn't understand much of what he's saying, but dude, the performance was crazy. It was awesome. He lit it on fire, bro. And the Super Bowl, unfortunately, just was a
Pats should have taken some notes,
dude.
I just could not believe the most fascinating part to me. By the way, Sam, I agree. The wedding part was cool, and those people really did get married. Which
really, is that like, right? That was what that wasn't.
No way.
I don't know if they got married there, but I mean, I know those people are together and I think they got married. Maybe the most fascinating thing for me, all of that greenery were people.
Yeah.
Well, see the nerd in me, I saw it on Twitter. Like they showed all those people coming in that were dressed up as like the ferns and like somebody made a joke. It's like, oh, it's the Ents from Lord of the Rings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So of course that's the nerd in me was like, oh, what a funny joke. And then I tried to tell it at my Super Bowl party, and all the kids were like, Daddy, what's Lord of the Rings? And I wanted to go, wait a second. All right, hold on. You really don't know Middle Earth? But that's another story for another day. Sam, you're the man. Brad, you're the man. This has been Talk of Champions. We'll all go out of it together. Back tomorrow, Tuesday, 10 a.m. Central Time, hoping for Chris Beard. It might be Wednesday at 1. But here's the full Talk of Champions schedule. The only thing that'll be different is Thursday. Thursday, both Sam and Brad will be in Pittsburgh, Mississippi. I'll be right here in the big chair, Mission Control, running the whole event online. So join us for Talk of Champions, not at 10 on Thursday, but earlier. I think it's going to be 8:30. We haven't decided that exactly, but Brad will be live from the Chancery Court, where Trinidad Chambliss is taking the NCAA to try to get a preliminary injunction. If he gets that preliminary injunction, it all but secures him, locks him in as Ole Miss's quarterback in 2026. So that's Thursday at 8:30. And now is going to be a regular on Talk of Champions. My man, Sam Hutchins, will be in Pittsburgh as well, and he's going to make a drive by. Thank you, Sam. You're the best, buddy.
See you guys.
Thank you, Brad. See you soon, buddy.
All right.
And thank you all for joining us. This has been Talk of Champions. We'll see you soon. Sam coming in clutch.